I'm just going to see how long this will last.
You don't spit a lot.
Yeah, I do. I'm just protecting you. Okay, let's do prayer requests first. Let's keep Glenda in your prayers. And they don't know if it was malignant at this point. Yeah. Okay. Would you do me a favor? Would you call me? Call them. Call us if anybody hears anything, so we know how to pray. Okay. As it came out of my mouth. We know how to pray. Let's pray specifically for them, both of them, as they go through this. Sometimes anxiety can be as difficult as anything else. Anyone else? You are the most well-adjusted people I know. You have to tell me your secret. I'm serious. I'm sorry. I just started the next round of chemo a couple of days ago, so it's doing its thing. I would ask for strength through the process, because I know it's coming. As it gets further on, you do this long enough, it just doesn't get any more pleasant. Yes. Donna? We can do that. Okay. Yes, I'll take it.
Well, I'm handling my mother's estate, and God has just continually blessed us with surprises around every corner. Extra money that we had no idea that we had to help pay bills, and it's just really been a blessing to see how he's working in our lives, in our family's life, seeing these blessings come forth and sharing with the family as to what's happening. And Jeff and I are trying to make a decision whether to purchase Mom's house or not.
Mm-hmm.
So we just ask for prayer to, you know, let God continue to guide us in this matter.
He said he would.
Yes, he would. And he's done
it. Imagine that. Anyone else? Anyone else? There we go. We have time.
Here.
that's the way I have it down.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sure we all are being challenged.
She suffered a stroke a while back, and she was recovering pretty well. A couple, 3 days ago, she killed herself during the night.
Really?
And it's possible she had another stroke and decided not to go through it again.
Okay.
We're not sure. It's under investigation with the Barry.
Okay.
With my, she's married in advance. She's my uncle's wife.
Is he still here?
No, he passed away about a while ago.
Okay.
But she has two sons. They're older. One son bought the house from her, and the other one lives out of town.
How do we pray?
I just, for, let's see.
I mean, she's not here.
She's not here.
I was
thinking more for the
family.
Family, their comfort.
Okay. Anyone else? Let's pray. Father God, you have told us that you know every word, every thought that we will speak or think before it comes out of our mouth, before it enters our mind. Father, I pray that we live mindful of that. You know our needs more intimately than I think we know ourselves. Out of your mercy, Father, we just ask you for your guidance, for your wisdom, for the things that we need daily, that we don't always consider as we walk. We are truly grateful that you cover us with your love and your mercy and your grace. We are truly a grateful people. Father, we ask for Glenda. As she has had surgery, whatever anxiety she might have, Father, we ask that you would comfort her, that you would give her peace, that you would let her know that you are close to her, that you walk with her through whatever she goes through. I pray that in some way, her actions, her desire through this will bring glory to you. We pray for Donna and the decisions she needs to make in regards to her physical needs and the needs of her husband. I pray, Father, that you give her wisdom and clarity as she goes through this. Father, I just pray that she make decisions that will be pleasing in your sight. We pray for Jeff and Chris and praise you for the way you have guided them through Marilyn's passing and dealing with her estate. We pray that you would continue, Father, as you have promised, to guide them, to lead them so that the things that they do, others will see and honor you. We pray for Amanda and her mother and the difficulties they're having physically. I pray that the things that you do in their life, the comfort you give, will outshine those difficulties that they're going through. I would ask that for each of us here, as we know that we will have trouble in this world, to realize that we have a hope that is unshaken. And that hope lies in you and you alone, Father. I just ask your mercy on them as they go through the trial and strength to endure. We pray for the family of Joe's aunt. Father, I pray in some way that this would draw the family closer to you. It sounds absurd sometimes when we look at it from the outside, but Father, we know nothing happens without your allowance, that you're sovereign in everything that you do, in the people that you affect. I pray strength for Joe, an opportunity for him to share his faith. That's why you've left us here. That's why we have ministry and opportunity here, because we bring life and hope in the midst of dire circumstances. Because of what you've done in our lives, we emulate you. Father, as we look to the Word right now, I pray that you give us wisdom and understanding, that you give us more than we had, than we came here with. Father, I pray that nothing be taught here today that is contrary to your will or to your Word, but that you would receive all honor and glory as we pursue you. I pray your Spirit fill us and give us a knowledge of who you are, and that you are holy and perfect and set apart. We thank you, Father, for this time, and we give you our praise in Jesus' name. Amen. The holiness of God. This is what we've been talking about. Is this, can you hear me? Maybe my ears are plugged. You good? Let me move it up. There you go. Yeah, it's just too far down. That better? Good. Okay. A grasp of the holiness of God should change our attitude and conduct in worship. We left off middle of the paragraph. It says, in the Old Testament, worship was closely regulated. In the New Testament, more freedom seems to be given in worship. The priesthood of a few in the Old Testament has become the priesthood of all believers in the New. And we referenced Acts chapter 5 and 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and chapter 11. They give strong warnings about how we worship, that we do not take the holiness of God seriously enough. I want you to close your eyes and imagine, just for a moment in time, that the person sitting next to you is a holy God. Close your eyes. The person sitting next to you, in front of you, behind you, is God Almighty Himself. How does that change the way you sit up, the way you pay attention? How does that change the way you view this time and what it should be? You can open your eyes now. The reality of it is, that's the case. We have His Spirit in us. There is no way to escape it. So we bring Him with us in every circumstance. In every word we speak, He's there. Good, bad, indifferent, He's there. Where are you taking your God? How are you reverencing Him in the things you say? in the words you speak, in the people you approach. You have to ask these questions. Not to ask these questions is to consider God, a holy God, a perfect God, a righteous God, as ordinary, as common, as not worth our valuable time. In irreverence is the most serious offense, as we can see from both Old and New Testaments, and worship is one of the areas where irreverence, not revering our God, not giving Him His due as a holy and perfect God, is a constant concern. I am distressed by those who, in the enthusiasm and excitement of their worship, transgress very clear instructions in the church regarding worship. We looked at Uzzah. You know who Uzzah was? I love the name. I like saying the name. You know who Uzzah was? You know him personally. Really? Uzzah was doing what Uzzah thought he should do. He was given clear instructions by God regarding the ark and bearing the ark. Okay? And he minimized God's ability to care for the ark by stretching out his hand as the ark was tumbling. And what happened? He died. Now, is that fair? Seriously? He was trying to keep the Ark of the Covenant from falling on the ground, busting open, doing all kinds of things. Do you not think for a moment in time God could have upheld? I mean, look at where the Ark has come from. Okay? Look for a moment. Think about it. Yeah, he hadn't dropped it. God hadn't dropped the ball yet. But Uzzah, in his humanity, thought that, you know, if I don't do it, regardless of what God has already said, you touch the ark, you die. It's a holy thing. It's where my essence rests. If you touch it, you will die. And Uzzah obviously wasn't thinking, because it started to fall, and he touched it. And what happened? He died. And I mean, it has to affect you when you look at it and what happened. It's not the only example we have. Look at Moses. Okay? We've gone over this. What did God say? Speak to the rock, and waters will flow out. And what did he do? He took Aaron's rod and struck it twice. He didn't figure once was enough. And you know the penalty for that disobedience was keeping him out of the promised land. Seems harsh? God is holy. This is what we don't get. He's holy. Set apart. He is different. His commands are perfect. And we are required to obey what He has done. And when we disobey, every time, things happen. Bad things happen when we disobey. I wish this were rocket science. I wish this were something that was intellectually more than you could fathom, but it's not. God has shown Himself to be holy over and over and over again. And if that weren't enough, because we did not witness it with our eyes, He wrote it down for us. I am holy. I expect that you will be holy, set apart, just like me. I expect no less of my children than they emulate what I have shown them. Jesus, did nothing without the Father telling him to do it. He didn't do anything of his own accord. He said, those things I do because I've seen the Father do them. And I want to do what my daddy wants, what my daddy has told me to do. I wish it were rocket science. It's a simple matter of obedience, of believing what God has said and trusting. Last example, you remember Ananias and Sapphira. Okay? I know I feel like I got a stick, and I'm going bonk, 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 and I'm doing it over and over and over again. The reality is, this is evidence, physical evidence of God's holiness. When you lie to the Holy Spirit, when you within yourself consider that what you believe and what you think is more important, that you have wisdom that is greater than your father, you will fail every time. We don't want to fail. We don't. We want to please our Father, do we not? If you don't, this is not for you. We want to please our Father. He said, this will please me. Regard me as holy. Regard me as something different than you witness on a daily basis. I am perfect. You're not. I am holy and set apart. You're not. The only way we can be is to enjoy what Christ has done for us and trust in that and that alone. Put all of our trust, all of our faith, all of who we are and what we are in Jesus Christ. And then God will see us as holy. Not just some, all. Not, that's part of your sanctification process. You are justified wholly before God because of what Christ has done. You are proclaimed no longer guilty of any infraction because of what Jesus Christ has done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's a great thing. We no longer have to fear the wrath of God. But, there's a big but here. There is an expectation as children of our Father that we do what He asks. That's the sanctification process. Otherwise, the moment you said, yes, Lord, I believe, poof, you'd have been gone. He left us here for a purpose. To grow us up, to mature us, so that in the ages to come, being prepared now for what's to come, if that's easier to understand, that was His purpose, to affect lives here, to grow us up to a point that when we reach heaven, we can handle it. It's an awesome thing. We get to enjoy Him here, in the process of getting closer to Him, and when we see Him face to face, we will get to enjoy Him fully. Because we will see Him as He is. A thought crossed my mind as I was preparing for this. I thought about the Mount of Transfiguration, okay? Where Jesus unveiled His glory before Peter, James, and John. All right? You know the two guys that were standing next to Him? Who were they? And who?
Elijah.
I think it was Elijah. If there were any proof in my, just recalled what happened to Moses. He was not allowed to go into the promised land because he disobeyed God. If there were any proof of our justification, if there were any proof of our sanctification process, it is looking at the two men standing beside our Savior as he glorified himself. He literally showed them his glory. If there were any proof to us that we will experience the same thing, regardless of how much of a failure you may see yourself in the mirror, realize that it is not you who justifies, it is him. Realize that in the same way, it is not you who sanctifies, sets apart, but it is him. So our walk is not a matter of us, but a matter of him in this process of becoming more like his son. That's what sanctification is. And I am so grateful that in this lifetime, I have been able to experience some of the things that I'm going to enjoy fully when I see him face to face. And you know, sometimes our enemy will whisper in my ear, "How arrogant of you that you would presume that you have the righteousness of God in you when you sin the way you do." Again, not because of us, because of what he has done. We would be totally consumed if any of these things relied on us. Do we get that? We're called to obedience, but not in our flesh, not of our own accord, but through his strength. We can't be obedient enough for God doing these things on our own. We are obedient to God because of the way he empowers us. Do we understand that? Do we struggle so much with trying to be good that we miss the fact that it is God at work in us for his good pleasure? That he redeemed us because he wanted to? That it brought him pleasure? Pastor Nyquist, Moody, on the way in. Awesome passage of scripture in Ephesians chapter 3 through 11. Did I say 3? Chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. We've done this. It is evidence, if we needed any more, of what God has done in us. We have to go there for just a second. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. Okay. Galatians, Ephesians, here we go. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Do you believe that? You have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Just as he chose us. We didn't choose him. He chose us. Why did he do that? Look around you. Could he not found people that were prettier, smarter, more eloquent in our speech? I am certain, beyond a shadow of a doubt, he could have found somebody that could have done this better, that could do what you do better. But he did it because it pleased him. Listen. just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. You understand what that means? Before light was spoken by him, before anything came into being, God was there. That doesn't sizzle your mind. It should. It should. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be what? Holy. What does that word mean? It's just that. Holy. Set apart. Unique. The other. As his children, that's what we are. We are a peculiar people, as the word says. We should not be like the people who have no hope. The people who run around daily without a clue of what's coming. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we would be holy and blameless. Big word, blameless. Before him. In him, in Christ, he predetermined. He did it. He did it. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will. It pleased him. It pleased him. Your redemption pleased him. Does that not affect you? How does that borne out as we go to work, as we have to deal with lawyers? He was pleased in you. According to the kind intention of his will. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. The beloved is Jesus Christ. In him we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and all insight. All wisdom and all insight. Not some wisdom, not failed wisdom, not cheap wisdom, all wisdom and insight, which he lavished on us. Pastor Ron used an analogy, a word picture. You know what potatoes and gravy look like, right? Well, the word lavish, I want you to remember this, because I haven't forgotten it. You take that big pile of potatoes, and you dip the ladle in the gravy, and you make yourself a little cavern there for the gravy, okay? And you pour a little bit, just enough to fill it up. No, that's not what God did. He took the bucket of gravy, and he dumped it all over those potatoes till it was overflowing and outpouring and just smothering those potatoes. Those potatoes are us. That gravy is that grace which he lavished on us. Didn't just give us a little bit. He dumped it all. He dumped it all. There's more. He made known to us. So you don't have to guess about this. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to the kind intention of his will. He made known to us the mystery because it pleased him by the kind intention of his will. He didn't do it by accident. He did it with a purpose. In the view of an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in heaven, things on the earth. In him we also have obtained the inheritance, having been predestined, that's a big word, predetermined. You didn't think about it. He did. He made it happen. It was an action that he did before you realized what you were doing. We have also obtained the inheritance, having been predetermined, predestined, according to his purpose, who works all things after what? The counsel of whose will? His will. If that doesn't give you some stake in your position, You're missing something, and see me after we're done. Psalm 96:9 commands us to worship the Lord in holy attire. That's not ephods. That's not robes, okay? Holy attire means, I have it right here, in his splendor and his holiness. Imagine just for a moment that we worship clothed, surrounded in the splendor of his holiness. This is not about a coat. This is about a garment that you cannot see. His holiness. It's the only way we can go before the Father without being consumed, because we bear his holiness. Our sanctification is the realization. It's too much sometimes for words, that a God, a perfect and holy God, who lives in unapproachable light, would look at me because of what his Son has done and see me as perfect. As perfect as his Son. As perfect and holy. The realization of that is walking that way. It's ours now. The realization of that is walking in a manner worthy. That's what that means. Walking like Jesus walked in pureness and holiness. Forgiving. Forgiving our sins. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we would be made righteous and holy in him. That was his plan. His perfect plan was to sacrifice his Son, which is incomprehensible to me, so that I might live in holiness, that I could go before the Father unabashed. I could stand before him and I could plead with him. I didn't have to go through a third party, that I could plead with him. I could pour out my heart before him. This is our walk. This is what we do. Not like those who have no hope. We are children of our Father. This is our expectation. This is his expectation of us, that we would believe him enough to do what he says. We've seen examples today. We've seen examples today of what it's like not to obey him. Uzzah didn't obey God, and it cost him. Moses did not obey God, and it cost him. Ananias and Sapphira did not obey him, and it cost them. How much more do we have to hear? How much more do we have to read before we understand our position? We understand that God loves us and wants us to have something so pure and undefiled, so unique to this place, that we can have effect as we walk, that our footsteps would bring something the world does not have, that we could make a difference because of what he's done in us and through us. It's a big deal. Next week, we're going to do number 6 for those of you who are following along. The appropriate response to the holiness of God is fear. That doesn't mean scared to death. That means revering him for who he is. You've heard the word awe before. You hear people say awesome without any regard to whom alone is awesome. There is one who is awesome, one and one alone. We will be talking about the fear or the reverence of God next week, Lord willing. And the outworking of that being our obedience. We revere him and obey him because of who he is, not because of what he will do to us. Let's pray. Father God, I pray that as we look to your word this week, as we remember what's been spoken here today, that what our minds can't comprehend, you would help us with. What our minds can comprehend, that you would move us so that we might make a difference here. Father, you said you have prepared good works. Before anything was made, you said you prepared good works for us that we should walk in them. I pray we look, that we be attentive to seeing what we can do and moving our legs to do it, that would bring you glory, that would bring you honor, that would bring you everything a child would bring in reverence to his father. I pray that you bear this on our minds and hearts, because you are holy, because you are worthy. We give you our thanks and our praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.